Weather, sports, and traffic to get you off and running. The KPAY Morning News continues now.
And it's just past 8 o'clock. Hour 3 starts now on this Wednesday morning. It is the 24th day of August. The KPAY Morning News is brought to you by Geno's Kitchen and Appliance Center. They specialize in quality GE appliances. You'll find their showroom on the Lower Skyway in Chico. And a good morning to you. I'm Scott Michaels. Get to your local headlines, sports, weather, but we got a busy one this morning. Once again, we want to welcome in from Chico State, the Department of Political Science and Criminal Justice. Emphasis on that this time. We welcome in Matriya Badami to the KPAY Morning News. Matriya, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's get a little bit into your background. You spent, you've been at Chico State now for 6 years, but for the past 23 or so years, what we're going to be talking about, extensive search warrant litigation in federal court. And of course, with everything in the news today, that's why we want to get you on and get your expertise on this. Of course, we know now the judge has told the Trump team, why do we need a third party, or as it's called, a special master? Why don't you explain a little bit what this special master is all about in relation to what's been going on with these documents that they found at Mar-a-Lago and that they're going through as we speak?
Sure. So a special master isn't really that unusual of a procedural choice in cases where there's a search warrant executed for pretty much all documents, particularly if the documentary evidence is probably or possibly subject to some kind of a legal privilege. So what that means is the most common area where you would have a request for a special master is when a search warrant is executed in a lawyer's office. And sort of all the files that are seized, and presumably their search warrant was only issued because there was probable cause that the lawyer, him or herself, was actually involved in some sort of crime. So a judge has issued a search warrant, as what happened here. But all of the documents taken out of a law office are going to have an initial presumption that they contain privileged, confidential attorney-client information. And so there's kind of an extra layer of concern. You know, always a search warrant can only issue upon probable cause because we have a right to be free from the government searching through our personal property and papers, right? So there has to be probable cause, and there has to be a judicially issued warrant. But when the documents that are going to be seized are even more private than sort of your normal everyday private business, where they're confidential, where there's some legal privilege attached to them, it's pretty common for litigants to ask for a special master. And a special master is usually another attorney or often a judge who is appointed by the court that's overseeing the whole warrant, any litigation around the warrant. And that person kind of takes a first pass through the documents that were seized to sort out anything that is both non-responsive to the search warrant, so it's not really subject to being grabbed by the government, and that is confidential or privileged, so that they're sort of taking that first stab to keep whichever agency has seized the documents from kind of doing a wholesale rummage through the documents. That's the purpose of a special master.
Now, we've seen reports, and of course, all this going on with the former president at his home there in Mar-a-Lago and the FBI raid, where we've even had conversations now where we've talked to some FBI special agents that said, yes, in order to go do this search, we had to go to a judge and get the search warrant. That's how it works, just to clarify that. So they just didn't go in. They didn't go in willy-nilly and say, hey, we're going to go get these documents. Although reports are that, you know, they've been working with Trump to get these documents back for the archives or whatever it may be.
Right.
So with that said, Matriya, where do you think the Trump legal team, what kind of footing do they have challenging this? Because there's also been reports that the FBI might have taken things that weren't part of the initial search or part of the search warrant, but they have since returned. Oh, we've heard stories about the passports and all this other. But I guess it comes down to, did the former president, I mean, once inauguration and everything, did executive privilege, he lost that, didn't he?
Well, that's actually a more complicated question than you might think, but that is separate from are the documents permitted to be removed, right? So
right.
Executive privilege is a separate question.
Okay. I thought it might be tied into what being a former president, does he still have those privileges with certain documents? I'd assume he does, if they're personal or private.
Right. So documents that are created, you know, his communication and things like that are going to still have executive privilege attached to them. But the question here was, are they permitted to be removed? You know, executive privilege isn't a privilege to take things. Executive privilege means nobody is allowed to get into the content of those without his permission. That's what a privilege is.
Okay,
a privilege is,
right.
I can keep you from looking at this, right? It has nothing whatsoever to do with the legal power to remove something and take it somewhere else, right? Those are completely separate issues, right? So the question here was, were these documents in a place where they weren't allowed to be given their classification? And so in order, you know, the mere possession of them at Mar-a-Lago under the existing law would be illegal if, in fact, those are top secret or classified or along the lines of classified, the levels of classification, right? So the interesting thing here is, there's lots of interesting.
Right, right, yeah.
You've touched on a couple things. One is the breadth. So when they say that some of the things that they seize aren't actually even covered in the warrant, that's a question of overbreadth. And the Fourth Amendment requires that any warrant that issues is based on probable cause and particularly describes the things to be seized. So when there's documents, it doesn't have to describe every single document by name, which would be a ridiculous burden on any law enforcement investigation. But it does have to kind of give what the specific categories are and lay out probable cause for why those categories of documents would be evidence of crime. And so when they seize things that are well outside of that or not described in any of those, parts of the warrant affidavit, then that's called overbreadth. And that can, if a seizure is overbroad, a court can order that the government return anything that's beyond the particular description. It sounds here that they've voluntarily returned some items, but that often is something that someone who's had a search warrant executed will challenge, the breadth of the warrant. Right now, because they haven't yet unsealed the affidavit for the warrant, we don't know, the public doesn't know the details of the evidence that the government was relying upon to demonstrate for the judge that issued the warrant that there's probable cause, that there's evidence of crime there. So we don't know what the details are. So it's almost impossible to assess whether the warrant is overly broad if you haven't seen the evidence that they're using to get the warrant, right? Eventually we will see it. But right now, the court is keeping it sealed.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk, too, Maitreya, about the fact that if the DOJ does release the affidavit, it's going to be so redacted that it's going to be all one, just a page of blacked out information. So I don't think the public's going to get to see much, nor, you know, yeah, the press and everybody, big, mainstream media companies going after it, say, we want to see what the affidavit had. But if they're protecting things that could lead to the investigation or part of the investigation, you're going to see a page just of all redacted stuff and nothing really coming through, I don't think.
That's a very common issue, again, in documentary searches. Again, even not at such a high and incredibly publicly important area, these kinds of fights are exactly the sort of fights that go on when documents are seized in a criminal investigation, especially sensitive documents. And here we got three layers of issue. One is, okay, if the underlying documents themselves are actually top secret, highly classified government documents, they should never, ever be just printed in the paper, right? There's a reason why they're top secret or classified. There's people in levels of sensitive positions have deemed this is really not a safe thing to have floating out there. It could be national security, you know, military stuff, nuclear codes, what have you. Those sorts of things are never going to be unredacted for the general public, for you and me to read, right? So that's one layer, is the documents themselves may contain things that are never going to be released. Then secondly, if they are still have an active criminal investigation going on about who knew and who took what and who took it where and when, then they're not going to want to release that information. So there's going to be redactions about maybe, you know, who the sources of the information are. That's going to be a confidential informant for the moment because they may still be cooperating with the government and providing information that is part of this criminal investigation. So that's like second layer, right? And then on top of all of that, there's these questions of privilege. Are there things that he could rightfully claim, look, this particular document, this particular box is filled with things that are my personal correspondence. I had a right to have them, and no one has a right to read them. And so that's like a third layer. So I would say that even though both sides have asked to unseal parts, no one really, there's no person other than you and me in the public who actually wants to read all of it, right? There's some, on both sides, there are things that the litigants would be wanting to keep confidential, at least for the moment and maybe forever. So yes, the short is it would look like, you know, blacked out almost entirely with, you know, words like the and visible.
Maitreya, how difficult will it be for the Trump team to get a special master designated when you had mentioned initially that usually this designation goes toward law offices, but this is a personal residence? Is there a differentiation? Is there going to be difficulty for the Trump team to get the special master because of that particular particular designation of his home?
Yeah, so this, I mean, I have to say this to me is legally one of the most interesting issues, because while it's not only law office, it's the probably the most common place they appoint a special master, but they'll appoint a special master when the documents that are going to be reviewed have a presumption that they may be privileged. A presumption just means we start with the assumption that they're all privileged, and then you can disprove that by showing what kind of things we have. But and so that's why the law office is the most common, because everything is presumptively privileged. But think about also if a doctor's office were raided, if there was questions that the doctor may be involved in insurance fraud, then all those files, those medical files, those are all HIPAA protected, right? So they're presumptively confidential, and there might be the appointment of a special master. So here, it's an interesting question, because any documents that President Trump possessed lawfully, anything related to his presidency that he was allowed to maintain in his, you know, personal documents, are going to be presumptively privileged under the executive privilege, I would argue, right? However, any documents that the law simply says do not, cannot be taken from the White House, from the records, from the archives that he possesses, the mere possession of them is a violation of the law, and they don't actually even have to be read, like, you know, as long as they're labeled, then it's not really difficult for anybody to know that that's, you know, that it has the top secret stamp on the box is a dead giveaway, kind of. So I do not think it's an outrageous request. I don't, I mean, some of what's in the motion for a special master is outrageous, and some of it is just, I think, is really inaccurate. But the idea of asking for a special master, because this is such a unique situation, I don't think it's really an outrageous request at all, because, look, it's an unprecedented situation for lots of reasons, but there is going to be a presumption that some of those documents are subject to executive privilege. And so it makes sense. Now, I will say the government already did have in place something called a filter team. So they did already have some people, some attorneys who are designated with that exact job that a special master does, which is to filter through to be sure they're not just sort of allowing the law enforcement agents of the FBI and of their agencies to just sort of willy-nilly read through documents. They did have a team of people whose job it is to separate out stuff that is not likely to be responsive and is in fact confidential and privileged to President Trump. But the request here just says that's not going to be good enough, because this is super extra, super duper private. So I don't think it's an outrageous request. And I do know the judges asked for additional information. So tell us more, you know, they didn't, it was a very just, we just want a special master, period. They shouldn't be able to look at his documents, which is not really enough information.
Hey, Maitreya, let's go all the way back 18 months, right? Let's go all the way back to when he was leaving office. Is it, I mean, this is a very, I know it's a very unlikely scenario that's playing out right now, that a former president now is being investigated for taking documents from the White House. But isn't there like a checks and balance when he's leaving office and they got the U-Haul parked up against the White House West Wing to get, you know, boxes and stuff taken out? Isn't there a way that the government checks those to make sure that nothing's taken that shouldn't be taken in the initial moving out process? I mean,
I will certainly say I do not have any personal knowledge of what the procedure used, and I can tell you that I am confident that it is now going to be changed and codified. I really think that there are certain norms that have previously been held to that a president is going to essentially believe themselves to be subject to the same laws that affect everybody else. And if those norms are disregarded, if someone had just said, but I want to take them and I'm going to, I'm guessing there wasn't a lot of oversight, and even the very idea that there would be some FBI agent that would be standing at the door looking over the documents as they're being packed, I mean, I'm sure would have seemed outrageous at the time, because there's a certain amount of trust that we place in our elected officials. And I realize that may sound naive, but we are all relying on the rule of law here. The rule of law is essentially only functions if the people that are participating in the system actually are willing to be governed by the laws. So it's just a really interesting, weird, twisted situation.
Well, as many would say, an uncommon kind of former president as well. We haven't had anybody like this before.
No.
Wherever you stand with this guy, that's without saying. Maitreya, let's look ahead a little bit. Look into your crystal ball. By Friday, the judge in Florida has said, you got to give us reasons, Mr. Trump, why we should appoint this special master for this. So just put your speculate a little bit about what you think is going to happen, since you have a lot of background in this type of, litigation.
Right. Well, here's the thing. To me, upon first read, I didn't think it was that outrageous of a request, right? But because every move is going to be examined and reexamined all over the world by the highest level of experts, and the media is going to take little bits and broadcast sound bites, every little step can look like a victory or a defeat, when really, legally, that's not what we're talking about. So if the court were to grant the use of a special master, it would literally just be a slightly more formalized version of the filter team. It would be a judge who is, going through all the things first. I have no reason to believe that any judge would not perform that duty appropriately under the law. So it wouldn't, in the long run, it wouldn't stop any documents that are meant to be able to be used by law enforcement in this investigation from being used, right? But it would look like, and it might play like, big setback for the government. Court orders special master, when really it is not a big deal at all to request a special master, right? So my crystal ball is really cloudy for that reason, because politics are playing a much bigger role in every single decision than I'm really comfortable with as, a straight up criminal defense attorney. It's not, if the special master is denied, it really isn't some major setback to former President Trump. Honestly, there is a filter team. They are absolutely going to be doing that job faithfully of being sure that they are not digging through stuff that is unrelated, unresponsive to the search warrant, and confidential. Every single person knows that basically their job is on the line, their reputation's on the line all the way up, right? This is the most notorious search warrant probably ever executed in the United States. So there's not going to be some secret getting away with it that the government pulls off here. It's all going to eventually come out, right? So I don't really think, I think it's a lot of sound and fury about whether a special master is appointed. My guess is the court will err on the side of additional caution and go ahead and appoint a special master. But honestly, whether they deny one or appoint one, it's really not a win for either side. It's a procedural safeguard. There already was a procedural safeguard. It's an additional one. I believe in the rule of law, so I believe that a federal judge appointed to review these documents is not going to do so in some sort of partisan way to help or hurt either party.
Say you. We'll see how that plays out.
Right?
We know in this world, Maitreya, how that plays out. So we'll have to wait and see.
I love her optimism.
It's like whistling
in the dark, but it's all I've got.
I love your optimism. I just love, everything's going to, it's just, that's the way it's going to be.
The rule of law. But you got to think that the FBI, they went in and took all that they could and then slow by slow going through it to say, okay, this is stuff we really need. This stuff, okay, can be returned. I guess that's basically, in a nutshell, what it's all about.
Right. The filter team won't be FBI. The filter team will be Department of Justice attorneys.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay? So
gotcha,
it'll be attorneys that are doing that, not agents.
Gotcha.
That's
okay.
They're filtering it, and what they filter out doesn't go to the agency.
So no matter what we see on TV is what you're telling me, Maitreya. Okay.
Exactly.
I watch the FBI on TV. I know what they do.
Right. For 20 years of practice, I really mostly found that there wasn't that much cheating going on. Mostly. I mean, you know, it's actually been a fairly workable system for the most part. There, you know, obviously the errors and the places where it goes awry are what is notorious and where the news goes, but day in, day out, search warrants are being executed. Litigation about whether they violate the Fourth Amendment is being conducted. Judges are ordering things excluded or included left and right. This is happening all over the place. The system has a function that I think certainly there's been a lot of efforts to blow it up, but I'm believing it's going to hold.
We'll leave it there. We'll leave it right there. Love to have you back on as this plays out in the weeks to come.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks
some good
so much.
Stuff.
Thank you.
Maitreya Badami there. She is with Chico State, of course, the criminal justice department there. And, man, some good information.